Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. In this program you will listen to music from the world of Osho and a part of a discourse by Osho. Just give yourself this 1 hour of music and meditation. Sit back and relax and just enjoy. The discourse today is from the series The Wild Geese and the Water, number 9, question number 1. Somebody is asking Osho how to avoid spiritual materialism. I'm not for avoiding anything in life, says Osho. Life has to be transformed, not avoided. Listening to Osho in this discourse, you can only feel blessed, you can only feel gratitude and realize that picking up on living the truth any moment with this master is nothing less than a miracle. The next music is music from an evening satsang with the master. It starts slowly and ends up wildly. So if you feel to get up and dance, please do so, and you will experience the silences and the words of Osho even more deeply after this.
the first question. Bhagwan, a few months ago in the West, I read a book by Lama Tsongkhapa entitled Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism, and I got the impression that everything that could be done wrong, I was doing. Then I tried to be more alert, but by avoiding one pitfall, I was constantly stepping into another, and so on. Now my question is, would you be so kind as to speak about this subject of avoiding spiritual materialism? I am not for avoiding anything in life, not even materialism. Life has to be transformed, not avoided. If you avoid life, you will remain immature. Life is a great blessing, an opportunity to grow, a challenge, a constant challenge that helps awareness, centering, grounding. Nothing has to be avoided. That is the ancient most stupidity man has been living under its shadow for so long that it has become almost part of his blood, his bones, his very marrow. Materialism is perfectly good in its place. If there is matter, matter has to be absorbed in a total life view. It has not to be avoided. It has to be used as a stepping stone towards spirituality. There is no contradiction between materialism and spiritualism, although it has been told again and again for thousands of years. You have been conditioned so much, the conditioning has gone deep, that nobody ever thinks about it again. It is one of the greatest calamities that has happened to humanity. Matter is the outer side of spirit. Spirit is the inner side of matter. They are not separate. The outside and the inside cannot be separate. They are inseparable. They are inevitably together. Hence a right vision, a total vision of life, will be a synthesis, a synchronicity between matter and consciousness. Materialism has its own beauty, its own significance, just as spiritualism has its own beauty. But don't make isms out of them. Life is one. It is spiritual and material. In fact, to use the word "and" between spiritual and the material is not right. But languages come from the past. Better will be to make one word out of the two. Spirit matters. And they are existing together in perfect harmony. In you they are existing together, your body, your mind, your soul. They are all existing in deep atonement, attunement. There is a subtle rhythm. They are all part of one dance. The body is not against the soul. It is the temple of the soul. But people like Lama Trungpa go on condemning materialism. And when they condemn, they create guilt in you. You start feeling that whatsoever you are doing is wrong. And the moment you feel that whatsoever you are doing is wrong, you are trapped. You are imprisoned in a dichotomy. If you follow the so-called gurus, lamas, etc., you will be constantly in trouble, in conflict, because you will be avoiding something which is unavoidable. If you follow the body, you will feel guilty. If you don't follow the body, you will feel unnatural. Something in you will remain missing if you don't follow the body. If you don't nourish the body, if you don't respect the body, if you don't love the body, then something in you will remain like a wound, rejected, condemned, and it is part of you. You cannot throw it away. You cannot get rid of it. It is going to be there and it is going to be heavy on you because you have a deep condemnation for it. And sooner or later, the body will take revenge. The matter will take revenge. You have created an enmity, a conflict, an unnecessary struggle between yourself. You have created a deep tension. Hence the so-called religious people live in immense tension, in immense anxiety and anguish. What is their anguish? The shoulds and the should nots. But Lama Trungpa is not even living according to his own ideology. So Sanatan, you need not be worried. He is one of the people who can be called absolute hypocrites. He condemns materialism and is a drunkard. Perhaps he thinks alcohol is a spirit. It is a spiritualism. The more you take of it, the better. But these fools influence many people because there is a long tradition supporting them. Don't be a hypocrite. Both are ugly. To feel guilty is bad. It is a state of sickness. But these are the only alternatives your religions leave for you. Either feel guilty or be a hypocrite. The cunning ones amongst you will become hypocrites, and the simple, the innocent ones amongst you will become guilty, and the hypocrites will dominate the simple-hearted. The hypocrites become the priests, the leaders of people. They say one thing and they do exactly the opposite of it. They have mass. They are hiding behind their masks. They have double lives. But they are cunning. They are simply befooling you. So there is no problem for them. Their only problem is that they should not be caught. If they are caught, then they are in difficulties. So it is only a question of how much cunning they are. The more cunning they are, the safer. But many of them are bound to be caught sooner or later. You can deceive few people for few days, but you cannot deceive all the people forever. How can you deceive? Somebody is bound to know. Somebody is bound to be aware of your dichotomy, aware of your double standards, that you use a different standard for people and a totally different standard for yourself. You have two doors to your being. The front door is just a facet to receive the innocent ones and to make them feel guilty. And you have a back door too, where you receive totally different people. But those people you receive from the back door are bound to be aware of your duality, of your deceptiveness, of your cunningness. So the only fear that the priests and the hypocrites and the mahatmas feel is that they may be caught. And they are caught. But the stupidity is such, the unconsciousness of humanity is such, that again and again they are caught. And again we go on listening to the same kind of stupidities. It is time enough that we should get rid of this whole division between matter and spirit. They are not divided anywhere. They are not divided in you. Your body and your soul are functioning totally together in deep synchronicity. You can experience it. If your body is sick, your innermost core also becomes sad. And if your innermost core is joyous, your body also wants to dance. I am not for any escapist attitude. I am not for any split in you. I want you to be one. I want you to be integrated. I want you to be totally natural, accepting, affirming. I teach you a materialist, a spiritualist approach to life. It has never been done before. That's why I am so much condemned. I accept it. I don't feel any trouble with it because that is natural. There have been materialists in the past. Epicurus in Greece. Charvakas in the East. They believed in materialism. They said all spiritualism is hocus pocus. It is inventions of the crafty priests. It is just to exploit people. And man is nothing but body. There is no soul. So there is no question of knowing thyself. You are just matter. That's what Karl Marx said again. In the modern context, that consciousness is only a byproduct, an epiphenomenon, just some matter, some chemicals joined together, created. Once they are no more together, it disappears, it evaporates. Nothing remains after death. There was nothing before birth. Life consists only of birth and death and in between. So don't be bothered about the other worlds and don't be bothered about hell and heaven. And Karl Marx said, this is the opium for the people. Priests have been dope dealers. Perhaps that's why they are against all kinds of dope. They have their own specific dope to sell. They have to be against LSD, marijuana, hashish. They have to be against all other drugs. Because if people are taking opium, hashish, marijuana, LSD, then who is going to be Christians and Hindus and Mohammedans? It is a simple question of competition. They have to push their own drugs in the market. Epicurus, Charvakas, Karl Marx have a certain truth in what they are saying, but it is half truth. The other half has been told by the so-called spiritualists. The other half is that matter is illusory. That it does not exist at all, it is Maya. The real existence is of the soul. Matter has to be avoided. What Lama Trungpa is saying is an ancient, very ancient and rotten ideology. He is a Tibetan. And Tibet is the most primitive country in the world. The most rotten. Even more rotten than India. If India is 2000 years rotten, Tibet is 5000 years rotten. It is stinking. He represents that stinking tradition. These so-called spiritualists have been saying the same thing as the materialists. The materialists say the soul does not exist, only matter exists. The spiritualists say the matter does not exist, only the soul exists. And my own observation is that both are right in part and both are wrong in part. And remember one very fundamental truth, that half-truths are far more dangerous than lies. Because half-truths have a certain truthfulness about them that becomes deceptive. That keeps people deluded. A lie is a lie. Sooner or later you will discover. But a half-truth is very dangerous. You may not go to such depths to discover that it is only half, that the other half is missing. The West has followed one half, the materialist approach to life. It has created great science and technology. Science and technology is enough proof that matter exists. That Shankaracharya is utterly wrong in saying that matter is illusory. The West has proved finally that matter is there, a reality, and it has to be understood. Otherwise, we cannot survive. But it is only half of the truth. Even Albert Einstein, before dying, realized it, that it is only half of the truth. He knew so much about the universe, but he knew nothing about himself. The knower knows nothing about himself. This is a very sad state of affairs. The East has done the other half. They have proved, certainly they have proved, that the soul is a reality. Because thousands of mystics have lived in such profound silence, peace, bliss. Their blissfulness, their silence, their tranquility, their unaffectedness in different situations, in life, in death, in success, in failure, they remain absolutely still, unaffected. That shows definitively that there is a center inside you, your interiority. And if it is explored, you can attain to some transcendence. You can attain to the beyond. You can remain calm and quiet in failure, in death even. It is enough proof that the soul exists, that it is not illusory as the materialists say, but the other part is missing. And the East has remained poor, starving. Its outside is ugly. It has found some inner secrets, but its outside is sick. Its outside is almost not worth living. It has committed a suicide on the outside, just as the West had committed a suicide on the inside. The West has enough technology, enough science, enough affluence, enough money, but something of the inner is missing. There is no peace, no silence, no joy, no bliss, no meditativeness, no experience of godliness. It is time we should see that up to now humanity has lived dividedly. A new human being is needed on the earth. A new human being who accepts both, who is scientific and mystic, who is all for matter and all for the spirit. Only then we will be able to create a humanity which is rich on both the sides. And if it is possible to be rich on both the sides, why choose poverty in any way? The outer poverty or the inner poverty? I teach you richness. Richness of the body, richness of the soul, richness of this world and that world. And both are possible, there is no problem at all. What I am saying, I am living. And I don't see there is any conflict. I can be as meditative in my Rolls-Royce, in fact, more meditative than in a bullock cart. I have been in a bullock cart, I have been on a camel, I have used all kinds of vehicles. And to be meditative on a camel is really difficult. Camels don't like meditation at all. They are very non-meditative animals. And in a bullock cart on an Indian road, I don't see any point of dividing the outer and the inner. I have been poor, I have lived in utter poverty, I have lived in richness, and believe me, richness is far better than poverty. I am a man of very simple interests. I am utterly satisfied with the best of anything. I don't ask for more. Don't be unnecessarily tortured by these people like Lama Tringup. Abhi cornered Rabbi Levin behind a bunker at the 14th green. I caught you kissing my wife last night, said Abhi. I know you are the playboy of the country club, and it is about time somebody taught you a lesson. That kiss will cost you $10. All right, said Rabbi Levin, here is $100. $100? Exclaimed Abhi. Sure, smiled Rabbi Levin. The rest is for what you did not catch me doing. We have to put a full stop to all this nonsense. Enough is enough. be simple, be natural, be spontaneous, follow your own light. Don't be bothered by other shoulds and should nots. That's the freedom a sannyasin has to live. My sannyasins have not to be cunning, and they have not to be guilty either. The moment you are free of guilt and cunningness, you have the doors of the divine open for you. You are welcome by existence itself. To me, that is true religiousness.
This was Osho Radio for today. You heard music from the world of Osho from the CD Yes to the River. Narayani singing the song The Time is Right. Evening Satsang with the Master. And after the discourse, there was a mantra by Premal called Om Tare Tu Tare and a very long and special instrumental piece of music by Shastro called Whirling Flames. There's an awesome video on YouTube that goes along with this music. Just Google on Whirling Flames by Shastro. We're gonna finish with a song by Mila Repa and friends called You Put a Song in My Life. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week. Take care. And namaste.
Spreading like sunshine over my face. Oh, show your blessings. Fill me with praise. I feel your love. Head to my toes. Whenever I see you, it grows and it grows. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life.